You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We are joining together to look at verses of Scripture that we've seen over these last few weeks that are chapter 20, verse 20, because it's 2020. And we've kicked off a brand new decade, we've kicked off a brand new year, and we're basically declaring that we want to grow in our faith this year. We want to walk further this year. We want this decade to be something we look back on beginning this year and go, wow, look at what God has done in our life. Look at the ways that the Lord has moved in some great ways. So I want you to turn, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. If you go all the way to Revelation, get to Revelation and go, wait, that stuff's too crazy. Let's move back one book and then come to Jude and you'll check out in Jude. You'll get this one chapter. If you got the Bible that the church provides for you and the seat back in front of you or underneath your seat at campuses. Page 697 is where Jude is found. And I want to welcome our Siena campus, our Cypress campus, and our downtown campus as well. It's FBA day, and that's an exciting thing at the Loop campus of First Baptist Academy. And so I got my shirt. I'm a parent. I'm excited. It's a great school and great things going on. So welcome to all of our campuses joining in with us. We've been looking at these verses of Scripture, chapter 20, verse 20. And we've ended up with some restolutions, some things that we need to rest, and some resolutions of saying some things that we want to do, we want to be. So if you'll grab your listening guide, if everybody will take this out, I put them for you right there in a blue box where you can cut that out, make that a business card for you if you want to, put it on your dashboard, hang it on your refrigerator. It's even got where we're going today with the number 7 one there, and looking at these restolutions and these resolutions. But we're going to look into Jude, one chapter, and see this next resolution we have as we complete this thought of restolution and resolutions. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the book of Jude. Jude, for you baby boomers, this was not where the Beatles song came from, okay? At the end of the message, we're not going to go, nah, 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 nah. You know, we're not going to sing the, you know, hey Jude at the end of it that we get going on that. Jude was actually named Judas. Why did he change his name from Judas to Jude? That's right. The same reason you never would name your kid Judas, right? Because Judas Iscariot was famous for betraying Jesus. So this guy named Judas that was actually the brother of Jesus, we could say half-brother because Jesus' father was God, born of a virgin. But Joseph and Mary had James and they had Judas, and then it's Jude is who it is. So he's the half-brother of Jesus. He had his name changed because nobody wanted to read the book of Judas, okay? And so here we've got him as Jude. Hey, Jude, we got him right here going on. Now, in this book, he's going to battle something. He's trying to battle in this one chapter false teachers. And he's trying to build up Christ believers. He's saying, look out for this false teaching, and I'm going to build you up as a believer in Christ. That's what he's trying to do. Now, it's great that he's doing this, that he's combating false teachers, because he had to go through some skepticism in his own heart. Here's what's interesting. He was the half-brother of Jesus, but he did not become a believer in Christ until after the resurrection of Christ. Isn't that interesting? He stayed back. He said, I don't know about this. I'm not sure about this. I mean, this is my half-brother. I don't know. Maybe that miracle was this. Maybe that miracle was that. Whatever he was thinking, we don't know from the Scriptures, but just thinking that through. And then after Jesus rose from the grave, Jude became a believer in Christ. So I think that gives him a strong moment to say, let me tell you about believing something that's false and coming to believe in something that's true. And he's going to give us 4 things that we're going to build in our lives, okay? 4 things that he's going to build. Now, here's our point. Here's our first point. Here's our resolution. I resolve to build my faith stronger. That's your first little right in there. I resolve to build my faith stronger. Now, let's say that out loud together, all campuses on the count of 3. Here we go, out loud, 1, 2, 3. I resolve to build my faith stronger. One more time. I resolve to build my faith stronger. Isn't that what you want for 2020? Isn't that what you want for this decade, to build your faith stronger? You're here at church in Siena, Cypress, downtown, the Loop. You're here and made the effort to get here because you want to build your faith stronger. Now, maybe somebody drug you here and you're like, no, I'm actually here because she drugged me here or he drugged me here. But there's something in you that goes, yeah, I'd like a stronger faith. I think that would be productive for my life to be able to have a stronger faith. Jude's going to give us 4 things, in just a minute I'm going to show you in the Scripture, four things that are going to give us to build our faith stronger. Now, I'm going to use an illustration that we've got here to show us. We've got this chair here as an illustration. And this chair, it's a great chair. It's a pretty chair. It's smooth. It's nice. Got a nice pillow. But you'll notice something about this chair. There's something wrong with this chair. It's a little too short, isn't it? I'm a short guy, and yet for me, it looks like I'm, you know, some type of basketball player type thing. So a real tall person would be like this. It doesn't have the height it needs. Why? Because there's four legs missing from the chair. Everything looks good. Everything seems good. It's stable and all, but there's something missing. There's four legs missing from the chair. So what we have here is there should be on the bottom four legs on the bottom that would give it the right height. Jude's going to give us four legs on our chair to build our faith. That's what he's going to do. Look in Jude chapter 1, only one chapter, verse 20. So we're doing 20 verses. Last week was Philemon, verse 20. This week is Jude, verse 20. So we finally got a 20, okay, with these two one book of the Bible places. So here we go. In verse 20, here's what it says in the book of Jude, written by God, not the Beatles. Verse 20. But you, dear friends, as you build yourselves up, that's where we get this, building our faith, as you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and for eternal life. The first thing he wants to give us, the first leg that he's going to put on the chair, is he's going to say, I want to know what I believe. That's our first resolve. I want to know what I believe. He says, I want you to be built up in the holy faith, in your most holy faith. So I want to know what I believe. For us to really have a secure walk with God, to really walk with God, we got to know what we believe. So let's put the first leg of the chair onto this chair here, okay? Let's see if we can do this here. We'll get it going. See if I can. Okay. I'm not a real good fix-it guy, just so y'all know. And my wife's like, I've seen this before, you know? Okay, now it's going. All right. So we get this going here, and we build this leg of the chair that we can twist it in and say, I want to know what I believe. How can you know what you believe? Here's how you can know what you believe. You can know what you believe by reading your Bible. See, when you get into the Word of God, when you read your Bible, and I hope for 2020, then you'll be a person that will say, I want to know what I believe, and I'm going to take time, and I'm going to spend time, and I'm going to read my Bible in a great way. I know this is like the longest screwing in. We only got four more to go. I hope you brought your lunch. Okay, so there we go. I want to know what I believe, and here's what you got to do. You got to be able to look into this and to really understand that this is going to tell you what you believe. So here's what I hope for 2020. You will spend time every day in this book. For years, I've just set a goal of just reading a chapter a day. Sometimes I read more, sometimes I read less. Just pick out Matthew and just start a chapter a day reading. Read a chapter in the morning, read another chapter at night, and you'll find yourself working through the Bible. There'll be a ton of things you don't understand, but there'll be a lot of things you do understand. And so to be able to work through and say, why do I believe? What do I believe? What is it? I want this to get into my heart and my life. And let me tell you, students in particular, if you don't discover what you believe, you will be washed away by culture. You'll get washed away in college. We've got to know what we believe because the culture of the United States is no longer, oh yeah, it is washing things away, trying to. Of course, you can't wash away the truth, but to be able to wash and blow things away. So we need to know what we believe. So let me give you a couple things. Just, you won't have time to write these down fast enough, but I want to just give you a couple things to know what we believe. When you seek things out of knowing what you believe, it makes a huge difference. Why do I believe in creation? I'll give you a couple reasons. Well, the sun's 93 million miles away. It's 11,000 plus degrees Fahrenheit on the surface of the sun. But somehow the earth is in the perfect position that it arrives here on an average of 72 degrees. Houston, Texas, an average of 102 degrees, but we can at least live here. 50 degrees more, 50 degrees less, we're going to burn up or we're going to freeze out. The earth rotates at 1,000 miles an hour. Did you know we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour right now? If you were to slow it down by 100 miles an hour, it would either freeze up or burn up. The earth's crust is like an apple skin in relation to the earth, just a thin, thin skin. If it was 10 feet thicker, the available oxygen would be oxidized and taken out. We couldn't breathe. The moon is 240,000 miles away. If it was 1/5, 20% closer, the tides would cover the continents twice a day. Isn't it perfectly placed where we are? So why do I believe in creation? Because I know what I believe, and I can see it backed up in these things. Why do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Because some say that there was 200 prophecies. Others say 400 prophecies in the Old Testament. Let me just give you a few. Virgin birth. All these have Old Testament scriptures along with it. Virgin birth. Born in Abraham's line of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David. Born in Bethlehem. He'd cleanse the temple. He would be rejected. His hands and feet would be pierced. His side would be pierced. Take into account that the side being pierced and the hands and feet being pierced was before crucifixion was even invented. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. I could go on and on and on and on. If you were to take 8 prophecies for one person to fulfill 8 prophecies, I gave you 9, one with extra measure. I gave you 9. For one person to fulfill 8 prophecies, it would be a 1 in 100 million billion chance. Now, what's 100 million billion? Who knows, right? Well, let me tell you. Be like if you were to put tiles 1.5 inches of a square and you were to tile all of the dry land on earth and you were to pick out one. That's what it'd be. Just throw a dart and hit the right one. Jesus is the Son of God. God is the Creator. Why should we believe in the resurrection? Well, we should believe it because the tomb's empty. Produce the body and Christianity's over. Nobody could produce the body. He also appeared after his resurrection to over 515 people. Hallucinations don't happen in groups. He was alive. And he was showing, why do I believe in Jesus Christ? Because he's changed my life. That's another reason. So I know what I believe here to put that leg on there to be able to stabilize it. So that's the first thing. He says, I want you to be built up in your holy faith, not your feelings faith, not how you want your faith to be, in the holy, true faith of God. Get to know this book this year, and God will do some great things. The second thing he's going to give us is found in the same section, but it says this, I want to pray with power. I want to pray with power. How do we build our faith? Number one, we know what we believe. Number two, we pray with power. It says at the end of verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? That means praying in the Spirit, that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. He lives inside of your heart. He guides us. He guides our prayers. He indwells us. He illuminates us. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're able to say, God, the only connection I have with God the Father is through the Holy Spirit of God. And ask you, God, I want you to hear my prayer. So we end up with the next leg of the chair being built on here to say that there's a personal God. There's a personal God that we're able to see his work in our lives as he personally meets us where he is. God wants us to pray to him. Do you pray for your kids? Do you pray for your grandkids? Do you go to the Lord and say, God, I'm calling out for you. For my job, I'm not just saying, dear Lord, bless the food. I'm saying, God, I need you. And what happens with that is we end up with our prayers are our connection and our heart to God. And we truly get to know him because now we're talking to him and it puts another leg on the chair so that we're able to say, okay, Lord, not only do I know why I believe, I'm talking to who I believe. And I'm asking you for stuff, and I'm calling out on behalf of my family, my kids, and my marriage, my singlehood, my office, whatever the workplace is where you are. Do you know that God's placed you wherever he has so you could be a prayer-walking person in your office? Everywhere you go in your office, you just at times you say, Lord, I just pray, Father, as I walk past down this hallway. I pray for this cubicle. I pray for this person. I pray for the supervisor. I pray for whatever it is, and we just pray. We just let God do his work. We're a group that loves prayer. And we've been having a special emphasis on prayer this month of January, trying to kick off the year. We did Daniel fast for some that jumped in with that. We asked you to fast at least a meal or a day to give it to prayer. Thousands upon thousands of meals have been given up to pray to the Lord. It's been awesome to be able to do that. We've had church-wide prayer times coming together. We've prayed in each one of our services, at each one of our campuses, in small groups of 3 before the service, after the service. It's been an emphasis in January to just say, this decade, this year, we're kicking it off right, and we're going for it in prayer. We're going to do that right now. We're going to pray. We're not just going to teach about prayer. We're not going to just talk about prayer. We're going to pray. And so in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, as we've been doing this past month, we're not going to do it every single time we ever meet together until Jesus returns, but to be able this month to put it together, we're going to, in just a second, we're going to get up. I'll tell you when, at all campuses, and we'll get in groups of three or four. We've been hearing neat stories happening from these groups. And we're going to pray together. I'm going to give you the three prayer requests. Let me show you what they're going to be. Here's the three prayers we're going to pray. We're going to pray, build our faith in 2020. That's what I'm telling you about right now. Build our faith. Number two, do great things in our church this year. Let's come together as a church and say, God, do great things. And number three, we're going to thank God for his love. And in doing those things, we're going to come up and we're going to stand up in a minute and we're going to pray together in those small groups. Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray that you would build our faith personally, corporately in 2020. We want that, Lord. We need that. We pray, Father, you would do great things in our church this year, more than we could ever imagine, Lord. We need you. We need your help. We need your strength. We've got some great plans. And so we pray, Father, you just do more than we could ask or imagine. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. You love us. Wow. Thank you for that. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take a seat. Isn't that great? Thinking all today, all campuses, all over our city, joining together with people to pray. So we know that we can know what we believe and we can pray. And so we can end up, we got two legs on the chair, but we're not quite ready yet, are we? Your guests would be like, whoa, what do we got going on here? I'm not, okay, thanks for having us over. It's not gonna quite work yet. We're a little lopsided. And so I want to ask you, as we look at these next two things, and as we looked at two things already, where's your wobble? Where's a leg missing on your chair? Where's your wobble? What needs to be firmed up? What needs to be made more sure? So let's take our third one now, our third leg onto the chair, and we're going to put that on there, and here's what that is. I want to live in his love. I want to live in his love. I'll show it to you in the scripture in just a second, what it says. Well, let me show it to you now. As you're writing it down, it says this. Keep yourselves in the love of God, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So we want to live in his love, that we would be able to say, God, we want to live in your love. Do you know how much God loves you? He absolutely loves you. He doesn't like our sin, but he's not mad at you. He's mad at sin. He's mad at the old person in you, the flesh person in you that goes for sin. But he loves you. He not only loves you, he likes you. He's for you. He's with you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to know that no one can snatch you from his hand, that you belong to him, that you are in his hand. He loves you. It's sure. It's true. It's strong. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you, to pay for your sins, to do his work in your life. See, sin will ruin our intimacy with God, but it will never change our proximity to God. Sin will mess with your intimacy with God. There's no doubt about it. You can't walk intimately with God and be walking in sin at the same time. But the proximity is always there. If you're a believer in Christ, yet you're choosing sin, he still indwells your heart. Your faith is based on his grip on you, not your grip on him. And so God lives inside you through the Holy Spirit. That's why I said praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, because he lives inside you. If you're not a believer in Christ, then Jesus is just one step away from you at all times. He wants you to turn to him. He wants you to trust him as Savior. He wants you to say, Lord, I know that I've sinned and I ask you to be my Savior. Wash me clean. Be my forgiveness. Be my Messiah. I believe in the prophecies. I believe in the empty tomb. I need you to save my soul. He's one breath away for the unbeliever and he indwells the believer, and sin ruins our intimacy, but it never changes our proximity. He loves you. He loves you, and he can find you wherever you are. Whatever you're running from or whatever you're running to, God can find you right there and make a life change in your life when you least expect it, and maybe in the hardest time of your life. 2 weeks ago, I was able to go with our missions director, Clark Reynolds, down to the border. We were invited to go down there to tour with Border Patrol to see all that's taking place on the border. Now, we all know immigration needs change to it. Whatever you think about that, your thoughts about that. I'm not trying to get in the politics in it. I'm just trying to be able to say I went down there and I saw what was happening at the border. So we were invited with about 25 other pastors, and we went down there and we received a briefing from the head of border control, border Border Patrol, the head of, and then the second in command of Border Patrol, and then the person in patrol, Border Patrol, the head of that area that we were in at that place. And so they sat down with 25 pastors and told us why this had happened like this, why this had taken place, and gave us basically the congressional tour. Wasn't any Congress people on the tour, but we got that kind of tour. We went into some of the areas that you've seen on TV and been touring those. We got in our little bus following a Suburban and went driving through the border, and we were like behind, you know, where you can't go, just normal folks. So we're driving through there, being able to see that. And then finally we ended the day. We went to a place that was a Christian camp place, a Christian encampment. And what it was is, if you are an unaccompanied minor and you come across the border and you become under the supervision of border security, sometimes they turn themselves in, sometimes they're found by border security or border patrol, and you become whatever under the supervision of border patrol. If you're an unaccompanied minor, they don't just send you back to a country. Our laws say, no, you can't do that, because we have compassion as a nation. So what they do is they take them and they place them into these homes that are all throughout the United States. There's hundreds of them. We just toured one. And then they await a court date to decide whether they're going to go back to their home country or they're going to be united with a family member or whoever in the United States. They're usually there at this one about 75 days. We saw the rooms they stayed in, clean, very nice. We could all go there and stay there for a retreat type of thing. I mean, not that you wouldn't want to be in the situation these young kids are in, but it's a nice, clean place. We ate the food, ate lunch there. All was well, met and talked with the people. Well, this place is a Christian retreat center, okay? So the government says, we need places to have these kids, so they put them into this Christian retreat center, and many others, hundreds of them all over the nation. They're not all Christian retreat centers, but they go into this Christian retreat center. So there's an optional chapel if the kids want to come. Nobody gets forced, but if you'd like to come, it's a Christian place, here's the deal, if you'd like to come, then we'd like for you to come. So thinking about this thing of, I want to live in God's love, that God pursues us, that God knows where we are. He knows our good times and our bad times. So they begin to have this chapel, and they begin to have this service that kids could come if they wanted to come. You ready? I want you to hang on to your hat for just a second. In the last 12 years at this one place, 35,000 kids have come to Christ as Savior. 35,000 kids. They've handed out 50,000 Bibles. Did you see that report on CNN? I don't think you did. Or Fox, or whatever, or whatever, or whatever, whatever. God is on the move in a huge way. So then they decided, they said, well, all these kids are coming to Christ over 12 years, 35,000 kids coming to Christ. 50,000 Bibles being given away. And they started saying, we've got to disciple these kids. We've got to teach them. We've got to help them. We need to see if they'd like to be baptized. So they started doing that. And since April until now, they have baptized 632 kids. 632 kids. Yeah, let's cheer for that, all campuses. So they get on the phone, they find their parents in the origination country, they ask, can we baptize your child? And the parents say, yeah, we'd love for you to baptize our kid if that's what they want to do and all that stuff. And so they end up baptizing these kids. I couldn't believe it. But what did it show me? It showed me that God is on pursuit of hearts, that God is in places that you wouldn't think that he is in, and that he's moving in ways you wouldn't think about moving. But these people, they've got a mindset, not we're involved in some type of political thing. They have a mindset, we're a Christian retreat center, and whether they go to the United States or they go back to their home country, we're sending them out as missionaries, and we're sending them out as disciples that have trusted Jesus Christ in their life. I want to live in his love. I want to live in his love. And Jude says, let me tell you what, there's four things that are going to be a rock solid faith of yours. I want to, number one, I want to know what I believe in my most holy faith. I want to pray with power, and I want to live in his love. So now we got three out of the four, right? We're ready to go, but we got a wobble, don't we? Where's your wobble? What's your leg you need to build up? Have you been reading the word? Have you been praying? Do you realize God's love for you and the care that he has for you? Where's your wobble? Well, we got the fourth one, the final one to be able to have here that we put the final leg on. Here's what it says in Jude chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We just talked about that. Waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus for eternal life. The fourth one, the fourth leg going in is that we would long for his return. We'd long for the return of Christ. Do you know that it's been prophesied that he would come as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and he did. I told you about those. But it's also been prophesied that he would return, that Jesus Christ is coming back. It's called the second coming of Jesus Christ. Second coming. He is coming back. And it says here, I want you to long for his return. The way that you really grow your life, the way that you really build your faith strong, is that you have a knowledge. You know what you believe. You pray to a personal God and you seek him. You're here in his love and walking in his love, and you're looking forward expecting his return. Now, I know there's all of us that are like, oh, don't, if you're coming back, don't come back till like a week from Monday because I really want to watch the Super Bowl, you know, and so then come back. Or please, singles are like, please don't come back till I get married, right? Oh, please don't come back till I have kids. Please don't come back till I go to college for the kids, whatever it is. And we're always begging God, but let me tell you what, Jesus returning is awesome. It's incredible. It's wonderful. It's the greatest thing. It's better than anything you could do, eat, see, watch, be a part of. Jesus is returning, and Judas saying, I want you. If you're going to build your faith in 2020, then you got to know what you believe. You need to pray with power. You need to walk in his love. He's so for you. And long for his return. Oh, God, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And then what happens when that takes place? Now you got a solid chair. It's the right height. It feels right. There's no wobble. Where's your wobble? Which one of the legs is not strong in your life? And now we can sit in our faith and say, Lord, I long for your coming because I've been living inside your love and I've been praying to you and I can't wait to see you face to face, and I know that I know that I know that I believe. And I believe in the one that I've entrusted, and he will come. And now, 2020, this decade, your last, out of seven we gave, your last resolution is to walk in the strength of him. Where's your wobble? Where's your wobble? Let God firm that up. Do you know Christ as Savior? That you know if he was returned in this very moment today, that you know that you would go with him and walk with him? It's an old poem. This is what it says. It's called If Next Sunday. If Christ should come next Sunday, and it may be his will, would the thing that I'll be doing set the master's heart to be a thrill? If Christ could return next Sunday, would he find me loyal and true in my place with my influence doing what he'd have me do? If Christ should return next Sunday, let's suppose he came at 10. Would he hear me answer present in the class that I should attend? If Christ should come next Sunday, if he came at just 11, would he find me in his service singing praises unto heaven? See, what Christ coming back one day is real and true. And you and I have got to sit in that chair and to be able to say, Lord, I want to sit here strong in building my faith, just as Jude said, and walking with you. Father, we come in Jesus' name and we thank you, Lord, that you are a powerful, great God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us so many reasons to believe. We know the winds of culture are strong. But Lord, your word says, those who seek shall find. Those who knock, the door shall be open to them. Father, so may you find some seekers in this room, some Bible readers in this room, some prayer warriors in this room, some folks that know even in the hardest of times, you love them in this room. And may you find a church that says, Lord, we're looking forward to your return. We're looking forward to a day with no cancer, a time with no death, where every tear shall be wiped away, where the old earth and heaven will be gone and the new earth and heaven will be present. A time where we will not worship in faith, we'll worship with sight. So Lord, show us our wobble, and may we sit strong in a chair of faith, knowing that you can hold us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at HoustonsFirst.org.